Oh Lord, if there's been any divine spark lighted in these meetings, Lord, water that spark. I got a letter from home today. You know what a surfer is? In the Middle West and so on. Probably you do. I don't know if you do. It's a guy who hangs around the beaches and dyes his hair, bleaches it. So the kids at church wonder if I'm a surfer, you know. So I get a letter from my boy, who's just blonde like I am, who writes, Daddy Surf Ortland, an accomplice. And he writes, this shows that his mother's side is coming out in this fellow. Dear Dad and Mom, I'm in bed now, real tired, full of Pepsi, hamburgers, and slop. The junior highs went to the beach. I got the best tan in years, red as a beet. Mowed the lawn and watered and painted. I've been on his neck about this scene. Today at the beach, I had the most fun I've had in months. Played Rook, messed around. Woody, Linda, Bumey, remember that name. Cheryl Rhodes and I played for 2 hours. Boy, the surf was up today. Stoka Boca. I don't know what that is. CE is going good. He's president of the junior high CEs. There's a wheel now, see. Hey, Dad, bring me back some crackers. Well, I went out for lunch and I've got some crackers. And now I know what he means. He means firecrackers. Illegal. You know where I can get any? Wally, that's the girl that's taking care of the children. Might take us to the beach Monday. Hot dog. Linda Bumey sure is fun. Ooh, boy, no sweat. You guys, I'm keeping the girls in line. I love you both. Don't forget it. Mom, have a good time. Dad, get back safe. So on. But I miss you much bad and a half. Boy, this kid is far out, I'm telling you. But this Linda Bumey bit, this is new. I'm going to take that kid aside when I get home. Any advice? Oh, what a character. We sure have a great time together. Is Don McCurry here? Yeah, I wish he were here. Ann said in your group this morning that he gave some wonderful suggestions on what you might do to go home and make the most of this. Your notes and so on. She was saying that some of the things he mentioned was this. Keep your notes and go over them once a week and then begin to digest them and make the study again. Say, take one of the sessions 1 week of, you know, say the one on stewardship or the one on prayer. Take it one week and go over it and then take another week so that you live with this thing that it's so valuable all year long. And I think it's a tremendous idea. Maybe you other leaders gave the same thing. But at least we should know what to do, how you make the most of a conference. And I've been wondering about this myself, how one might do it for myself. Because I've been at conferences like this, NAB conferences and others, and sometimes you go home with a notebook full of suggestions, but how do you make the most of these suggestions? What happens many times is that I've just had these suggestions there. Now, what I'm going to do, and I don't know if any of you are called on to do speaking, of course, you who are pastors, you who are Sunday school teachers, obviously, you're called on. Your lessons have, you can call on these things that you've learned for your lessons. I would suggest that you start up in your home a file. You already have your files for finances, bills, and that kind of thing. Why not make a file also for the things that you read, magazine articles, Bible studies that you get. For instance, have one folder on stewardship. And so that when you teach a lesson in Sunday school or give a talk on stewardship, you've got it there. What a tremendous blessing we had in that lesson on stewardship and on, say, the one on well, you make your files as you want. I started out with a file for the Old Testament and a file for the New Testament, one manila folder. And then I started out with one, say, on the doctrine of the person of Christ and the doctrine of God the Father and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Big lumps, you see. And then, when I saw that that was too much, I lengthened it out and actually took up the Dewey filing system. But how can you best take in this material you've been getting? Well, I would suggest that you figure out some way that's good for you, so you just don't go home and stash this stuff away. It'll not do you any good stashed away. And especially begin to work on it again. I'm going to do this personally. It's been so helpful. I wonder, you know, this is a little different tonight, and I don't think that you want to... I think we ought to just kind of smile at each other and so on and have a good time. I wonder if anyone here would like to share with something that's gone on in your heart during this week, something that the Lord has done in your life. Now, we don't want anyone to overstate a thing, but what's the Lord done for you this week that you'd like to share with us? Don't feel pressured. If no one desires to say anything, well, don't. But otherwise, if you would, well, it'd be nice to share. Somehow at the last meeting of a conference, it ought to be a time when you say, this is God, what God has done in my life. Anybody been blessed? Or? Yes, all right. Ah, bless your heart, Harvey. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Anyone else feel like they'd like to share? Something little, something big? Doesn't have to be. Yes.
My wife and I are particularly blessed by the Brady veterinary trainees that conduct themselves, offended in and so on. And I just like to comment on the Lord's being blessed. It's the one thing we'll talk about more than anything.
Yes. What a good group of young fellows and girls they have. Yes.
This is what the Lord done for me this week.
These folks are on their honeymoon. Great.
I would like to say that it is a privilege and a real thrill to pray the Lord's will and know that when you come to that point that it is the Lord's will. And that when He allows it going through, you know that because you've been praying for it. We just praise God that He had brought Ann and I together. And even the few days, a couple, yesterday and the day that we've been here, has been a tremendous blessing to us. But we just look forward to growing in Christ together.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yes, God bless you. Yes.
Ray, I believe that just walking across this ground here will give you a great thrill. Someone asked me the other day, what did I think of the ground and the people here? And of course, I told them that it was so much different than the outside everyday life that we live in contact with people. They have such a pleasant expression on their face, and they always have a smile for you, all over the ground, and hello. If you ever notice, they all say hello. You know, real, and they always smile. So that's the first blessing that I received. And then another thing, I actually came up here dying something this year. I have to confess this. My pastor and I are very close, and he had asked me to head up a financial campaign, stewardship campaign in our church this fall. And I had decided that the only thing that I was going to do was to do personal witnessing for a while instead of so much of committee work is what it is. But you know, as I came up, I told Mama, I said, now, we're going out to Benda, we're going to the community. We won't hear a thing about stewardship. You do. thing while you're gone. Says you're going to be gone these 7-8 days. Says you just pray every day about this matter, and whatever the answer is when you come back, well, I'll accept it. Says I haven't accepted your answer yet. So, you see, the first prayer I've done is through institution. I said, well, but you know, didn't we announce it? I said, well, we didn't have any of this right. And then, of course, then that night, in my prayer, and the next morning, when I was talking with the Lord, He showed me where the opportunity to witness, personal witnessing, could be opened up real biblically in this church of Florida. Mm-hmm. So, you see, I'm going back home in a minute.
Wish I'd get a few of my men up here right now. Anyone? You wish that you would, but you can't? Yes, Dick.
We were sharing our discussion. One of the things that has always been a real blessing for me is to come here to share with fellows on staff and the tremendous impact that they have. One of the things that I've always wondered about is why is whatever they say is so challenging. Most of the fellows you run into around here have the ability to challenge in just a real simple way. It's just words that they're putting out, and yet it's words that have a lot of meaning. And I think that the Lord has shown me this week that they have this ability because of the time that they spend in the Word and the time that they spend in prayer. And I know that the time that I spend in prayer, this is not a real life. I was really challenging this week.
Yes.
To get out of this and not only communion with the Lord, but communion with my family.
Yes. That's good. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I think that what we were mentioning the other night on ask, seek, and knock is our part of how we might be men of God, witnesses, strong in the Lord. Now tonight I want you to see God's part in this. God's part. Now notice this. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. See, I'm using the King James tonight in honor of King James down below. But notice that now. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now I want you to get that 21st verse. And this is going to be our theme, just to encourage us for a while tonight. You know, you can quote Scripture, and they can be the promises of God, and yet it's possible for you to go away and really miss the point. That it's God who's really in charge, and it isn't your doing that's going to do it. Can God make you a woman of God or a man of God, of faith and of prayer and progress in your life and power? That's what it says. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, the omnipotent, almighty God. Keeps you and daily fixes you more firmly in His Son. He wants to have a completed end. He's going to have a completed maturity. The point that He's going to, and just keep your place there, but turn to Romans chapter 8. We know, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you remember that verse very well. Now, isn't that good to know? You're here because you love God, and that this is working out for your good this week. For all of our good. Notice this, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. What is the ultimate purpose of God? That you be conformed to the image of his Son. This is what we've been emphasizing in the evening. To be like the Lord Jesus. That you be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, one of the things that I notice is this. That you, when you are conformed to the image of his Son, you're different than I am. And you're different than each other. And you husbands will be different than your wife. So that as a body together, we reveal the Lord Jesus. It takes the whole church to reveal this great, many-colored, facet person of the Son. You're like him, but another person is like him in another way. So that God has in mind the final destination that we be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, will you believe this, that God is going to do this in your life? You go home and you say, how can I do all this? Man, I'm so immature. I just don't know these things. I haven't had the background that some of these people have had. Well, will you believe this? You long to be a fulfilled Christian, don't you? You long to be out and out like some of those that you see. You want to be Christ-like. You want to be a producing Christian. Well, it seems to me you have to have not only the seek, not ask, seek, knock, that determination, but also a confidence that once you've asked and are seeking and you are knocking, that God will hear you. A sure confidence. Now look, this is important. What is it that made Lawrence Sanney different than other people? When he grabbed hold of a promise of God, he meant business. Because he knew God meant business. He didn't squeeze it out of God. God gave him the promise, therefore he knew that God would fulfill it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice this. Paul was not only confident that God was establishing him, but that God was establishing that church in Philippi. And so it is when you go home, and listen, this is the confidence you can have for your children. It's the confidence you can have for each other. That I am confident that God is going to mature you. Not only that I'm confident that the Lord is going to take me, weak and sinful as I am, he will, and he's going to complete his work in me, but he's going to do the same to you. You see how this makes your ministry to one another. A ministry of confidence. You aren't shaking, say, well, if only they'll hold on, if only they'll do this. Listen, God says that he is confident that he's going to do his work. The Apostle Paul said he's confident that God was going to do his work. So we can be confident too. I must believe that God is going to mature and fulfill his plan at Lake Avenue Congregational Church. You know, when I came there, and I was considering the call to Lake Avenue Church, I'll just let you in inside on something here. God gave me many promises, and I guarantee you I wasn't going to go out there without them. What about my own former church? I was the first full-time pastor of that little church, and God blessed it, and we had three morning services in a morning, Sunday morning. It was just like a production line, you know. And it was just a great fun. I mean, we had young Christians been saved 6 months, 2 years, you know, just on fire for the Lord. Great group. I didn't want to leave those people. And yet I felt God was asking me to go. And you know, God gave me Acts 9:31. And he gave me this verse. Now there's been a lot of troubles in my heart since then, and in the heart of the people too. But I believe God's going to fulfill this verse. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And I was asking God, Lord, what about Lake Avenue Church that I might be going to? What about East Glenville Church that I'm leaving? I love these people. I don't even know them out there in Pasadena. I don't want to leave here. And God says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. You know, I think we're going to see, in my own experience, God do that. It's the confidence we must have that God is not only going to complete us, but it's faith that He's going to complete other people too, so that we don't push Him around to get the results. To me, this is very important. God will be faithful in His time. He is no liar. God cannot lie, says the Scripture. Now, can you claim personally this confidence for yourself? Listen to what the verse says again. Now He, which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God. The establishing God. He is establishing you in Christ. I don't know if this helps you or not. It sure does me. How to gather up what you've been getting here. How are you going to fulfill what you've wanted to fulfill and what you've been getting here? Leave it to God. Let Him work on you. Give Him access by going over the material, by rethinking through, by talking it over with one another, your wife, your husband, going over the material, saying, are we really measuring up to what we could do? What did we learn that we can now go over? Now He, which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, is God. Your self-help and your struggling will get you nowhere. You know, I was thinking of that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Here's what the second verse. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. And He's going to do that for you. Listen, hitch your wagon to a star, the morning star, the Lord Jesus, and look for Him to establish you. Now He which establisheth us in Christ and hath with you and hath anointed us is God. I think if you would ask Lauren Sanney, as I talk with him, he's never said this, are you a man of destiny, Lauren Sanney? I think he'd be a little bit embarrassed and then he'd say, yeah, I think I am. And I think you take any man who takes God at His word and say, are you a man of destiny? And I think that person has to say, well, I fear to say so, but from what I read in Scripture, I am. God has destined me to be established. He's got a work for me to do. Now you see, what one person may count as a great destiny may not be at all a destiny for one, because God has given him a likeness or a desire for another destiny. Listen, now let me ask you something. Are you a person of destiny? Have you hitched your wagon to a star? Or are you saying, oh, I can't do anything, or I can't do nothing, excuse me. This is the way you talk, isn't it? Oh, I'm nothing. Listen, you are a child of God. You've been born again into the family of God, and you shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He which establisheth us in Christ with you and hath anointed us is God. Friends in Christ, I want us to get this. I think our destinies are different, but listen, you're a person of destiny. Now, secondly, I ask the question first, will you believe this? Now, the second thing I want to ask you is this. Will you believe that promise?
Now, that's an awkward verse, I must say. The Apostle Paul didn't do too good there, you know? And you know, when I put it in the Revised Standard Version, it's no better. But the truth is great. It's not as good in the RSV, frankly. That's why I didn't use it. The truth, that's what's important. It isn't how easy it flows. It's a hard verse to memorize. I don't know, it's short, but I struggled with it for about 3 days. But how can you claim this verse in the confidence that he is going to establish you? Well, let's look here, just for a moment. It's not your work. Notice the first two words, what are they? What's the first two words? What's the last two words? Now, he is God. Now, there's the thing to latch on. You don't struggle to be saved, do you? You rest to be saved. Turn with me to Colossians very quickly, and we'll turn back again to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. How were you saved? By grace through faith, weren't you? By resting in the finished, completed work of God. If you struggle about it, if you try to earn any of it, Galatians says you can't have it. You get your fingers in there in any way, then you've got a gospel of works. It must be all of grace. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Not Jesus paid it 90%. 10% I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as pink. This is what many people think, and they want to get their fingers in there. Now look here. Chapter 2 of Colossians and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive him? By grace through faith. So walk you in him. How do you walk in him then? By grace through faith. You know, the Christian life is a very simple thing. You start out by grace alone through the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith. And how do you meet the next day after you're saved? By grace alone, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith. And when you get 80 years old, you say, well, God is good. And someone says, how do you do it? By grace alone, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. That's the way it is every step of the way. And if it gets any other way, then it isn't by faith. And then it's no fun. It gets to be worse. And so you're completed in Christ, not by struggle, but by resting. Allow God to settle you, will you? Don't go home and say, boy, I'm going to work like tar now. Well, good. I mean, get into the Bible and get into these things. He delights to fashion you as you ask, seek, and knock in earnestness. But remember, when you ask, seek, and knock, do it in confidence that this God is a God who is greatly gifted to make you what you need to be. That it is God that is tremendously skilled and gentle, and sometimes not so gentle, in making you what you need to be. Go home saying, by confidence in God, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. And he will do this. Now, our weaknesses don't stop him, by the way. God smiles at these weaknesses. Remember what Paul said? He said, Lord, you've got to take this thorn of the flesh. And God said to him, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I am nothing, you say? God says, fine. You're just so right. And I'll just do something with nothing. You know, when I came to that room, if you haven't seen our rooms yet, you would have to come in. We'll shut a few suitcases, but we would invite you in to see them. They're just lovely. And when I came in, you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't deserve to stay in a place like this. You know, the Lord said to me, he said, you're right. That's right. And you say, Lord, I'm weak. He says, you don't know the half of it. So what? You know, I know a preacher real well, and his wife real well. And this crazy preacher keeps telling the Lord how he can't do things. You know what he does? He spins his wheels. He tells, Lord, I can't do this, and I can't do that. And he gets scared, you know. A few deacons look at him like that, you know, look like they're going to take him apart or something. Oh, God. You know, he gets all excited and all scared and frightened. And this crazy preacher, he keeps wondering how he's going over, and he gets self-centered and self-occupied, and he doesn't get his eyes on God. but he's got a good wife. Just a cracking good wife. And this good wife tells him, "Preacher, you get your eyes off yourself and you get them on your God." You know, that preacher's been blessed by this good wife. And you know, this is what we need to do. Our God is the husbandman who looks over this little vine that you are, this tender little vine in this rough blowing winds of the world, and he keeps care over you, and he feeds you, and he clips you down, and he lets you grow this way and that, but he makes sure you don't grow the wrong way. What's your job? Just to keep taking that life, he says. Just to take that life and grow. Now, you don't grow. He allows you to grow. It just happens that you grow. And this is what happens spiritually. He delights to establish you. Who united you to Christ? God united you to Christ in the first place. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You didn't born yourself. No man made you born. God worked a miracle, and you were born. Now, it is God. When you rush on and your battles come on ahead of you in these days ahead, the temptations are going to come and the cares of this world are going to come, just remember, it is God that works in me. And in the midst of these things, God's going to use them to make my growth. And I'll not be afraid. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. You know, the fellow from Africa got up and testified, and he says, "I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be." You see, this frees your soul for faith. And faith is the condition for blessing. It frees you from guilt. You can't say, "I'm going to grow 6 feet today." You can't do it. Man, you'll get a heart attack. You just got to take it a step at a time. You heard about the fellow who put a sign on him? To all his fellow Christians, it said on the back of it, "Don't criticize me. God's not through with me yet." And that's true. And don't stand around criticizing yourself. Get on with the job. Now, God has committed himself to do this. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now, let these words burn into your soul. Listen to some other ones. I'm going to quote to you. I'm not going to give you the reference. You can look up the word establish. "The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself." Who? The Lord. "Thou wilt establish the heart of the humble." Who will? The Lord will. Who are these people? The humble people. "Now to him that is of power to establish you be glory forever." Who is it? The him who has the power will do the establishing. "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness." Who? God. How much? In holiness. "The Lord is faithful who shall establish you," or keep you, "from all evil." Wow, I like that. Keep you from all evil. What a promise. "The God of all grace, who hath called us in Christ Jesus, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Who? The God of grace. You know, this makes me sing that old hymn, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled?" What do you want God to say anymore? He's rung the changes now. These aren't happening. Are you weak? Well, he is strong. Are you little? He is big. Does God mean this? Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Burn it into your soul. It's simple and yet so profound. Such a large promise, isn't it? Now look, what difference should this make to you? That's the last question. The difference is, it should be a difference in the purpose of our fellowship. Do you notice the verse said? Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ is God. You see, together we've been established. Hasn't this been wonderful? God's been working on us this week. Now, God works on you alone, but not only on you. He works on all of us in his own way. And right now, he's just putting the screws on you. You may be tired, and I don't blame you. You can just drift off. Go ahead. If you want to sleep, you just let your head fall down. When 5 minutes later, when you wake up, I'll be no further along. You can just come right in. But God's doing it. Now, look. It's the fellowship of being established. And I believe this is going on. It has been going on wonderfully this week. We're partners in progress. Or we're the gathering of the growing. What do you think of some more of them? Even around the tables, down at the King James, you share, you laugh, you joke, you share the Lord together, you get to know one another. It's just the way that you grow. God uses these things, establishing us with you, you see. God doesn't just establish one person. He takes us all together. And you know, the thing that thrills me about that is it doesn't allow me, therefore, to get proud or to say, well, I'm the wheel. Oh, no, 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 no. You're a person of destiny, so am I. But together we're people of destiny. Marvelous destiny. And who knows what's going to come out of this conference? Who knows? 6 days ago, we sat down in the King James, you know, a little bit stiff and trying to find out. And you thought, oh boy, here are these spiritual giants around this place, you know. I wish I didn't come and so on. But now you've just kind of taken your shoes off and you've gotten at home, haven't you? And the joy of fellowship, the joy of being yourself, just sharing the Lord together, the joy of just being in Christ, being established, the pressure's off. Now look, I want you to turn to Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to get a hold of this and rejoice with me, will you? Even though you're not happy, will you rejoice with me? I like this. I really go for this. Look. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. Let's read it together. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusteth in Christ. Now, what is God doing? That word worketh. God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. Look at verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? What's working on you right now? The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Brother, let him work. And chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read it together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that word workmanship is the same word as the word poem. And any of you who study Greek know this. It's a famous old illustration of the beautiful meaning of Greek. The word in the Greek is really poema. And it means it's God's workmanship. It's a work, a masterpiece of beauty. It's God's rhythm and God's lovely poem. You are this. You see, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Is God going to get his work done through you? You bet your life he is. Or his word isn't true. Look at chapter 3 in verse 19 and 20. Read it together. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Boy, look at that. The love of Christ, we are being filled with it. Being filled with all the fullness of God. And then God is able to do this exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen, let him work, my friend. Let him work. And don't frustrate or get excited. The only thing to get excited about is just to see what he's going to do next. Oh Lord, reporting for duty today. Make me grow. Give me the works today. Lord, just put the pressures on me. Make me grow any way you want to. Harvey just about rolling on the floor back there. Make me grow today. You mold me today the way you want me to go, and let's just see an exciting day for God. Watch him give you day. More that'll be someday. Don't try to force growth. That'll be flesh. But relax. You know, when you're, if you watch your kids grow, our 14-year-old boy, in the last month, I don't know, his pants are high water like this now. We didn't buy them too long ago. It's embarrassing. You see all his socks, you know? And they all wear white socks. All you see is white socks going down the road like this. He grows in spurts. And this is the way you'll grow. And sometimes it looks like you're not getting anywhere. Don't be discouraged. Claim the promises of God. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Don't get discouraged. God's committed himself to this task. Wheaton College President Craxy Edmond has a talk one of the fellows was telling me today. It's called Don't Give Up, It's Too Early to Quit. Don't give up, it's too early to quit. And you know, it's always too early to quit. And don't get discouraged. Each morning, transfer all your needs. Each morning, get up and say, this is God's day. Ask him to renew your love. Ask him to renew your commitment to him, your surrender to him. Ask him to renew you so that you may grow in grace for that day, and then trust him to do it. Go about your business. You know your part. Just ask, seek, and knock. And then let God do his. Now he which establisheth us in Christ, together in Christ, is God. Boy, that note. But you know what it also says? And he hath anointed us. And what does the anointing? It's the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? All day long, the Holy Spirit recalls the promises that in him are yea and amen. Here's the verse analysis before and after. Frankly, God's just given me this message, so it sounds quite rough. Why, this is exactly what it is, because I've gotten such a blessing from this. I needed this. I just needed this. God knew it. And I did a verse analysis on this, and exactly what I see. That you have a jumping from verse 22 back to verse 20, because it's God the Spirit who uses the Word of God, and it's God the Spirit who has sealed you, that's going to take the promises that are yea and amen, and all day long he's going to work them into your life as you tuck them away in your heart. And he'll bring these promises to you. I read this today. One of the great weaknesses of present-day Christianity is that it centers far too much in ourselves and far too little in the Holy Spirit, and is often shallow, frustrated, despondent, very earnest, but not very radiant in the consequences. And that's true. Because we need to see that it's the Spirit who's anointed us, it's the Spirit who's going to establish us as he calls the Word for us. And so, fellow Christian, listen. Remember that when God sends his troops to the front lines, the lines of communication and the supply lines don't get broken. When Napoleon went over to Russia, he got run out because the supply lines were broken. But God doesn't do that to you. When you're out there in the battlefront and things look rough, he supplies. And don't you get frightened. God will do this. He enables you. He will establish you. He hath anointed you. And so don't fret. You say, I'm dumber than the rest of the people around here, and I'm not this. My friend, God works on dumb people. Amen. I am a testimony. God has charge. You forget, will you forget you and just give God the credit. Ask, seek, knock, and then say, Lord, it's up to you. And keep asking, seeking, knocking in faith and in confidence. Sing it, my friend. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Whistle it. Now he who establishes us and hath anointed us with you is God. I got it all mixed up. But sing it, whistle it, take it with you, and don't sell God short. Let him do his work. That encourages me. I'm thankful for that. That's all I have for tonight. And I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're not so full that you wonder how in the world you're going to take it all in. I suppose all of us are that way. But don't get discouraged. Let's sing together hymn number 50, and then we're going to have prayer. Hymn number 50. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrims through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's true. Now stand up and draw in some air, and let's just sing this as kind of a testimony and prayer together before we leave. Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for this joyous time together, learning, being stretched, being encouraged and challenged. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thou hast drawn us from many different backgrounds, and we've found our oneness in Christ, that the Lord Jesus is the one who hath called us to Himself and hath anointed us, and He will establish us. O God, how we thank Thee that Thou hast laid Thyself out for us in this way. And we pray for those who here tonight who feel weak and wonder how they're going to go out and carry on, that they may be discouraged with themselves and maybe a bit doubtful about themselves, that they may get their eyes off themselves and see that Thou dost take the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are, the weak things of the world, to make them the glory of God. And for those, Lord, who tonight feel a great need of a rekindling of the fire, a reanointing of the Holy Spirit, we pray that that will happen. There will be a new strength in Christ, that from this small conference we may go out to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, in earnestness for Thee. Now, Lord, while there's our part, we pray that You'll keep us faithful in asking, seeking, and knocking. And then, Lord, we look to Thee to fulfill Thy part of establishing us in the faith, in Christ together, that one day when we gather together in heaven, we may remember what was started here at this conference this week. We may be encouraged. We may know that Thou hast completed that work that Thou hast begun. Bless the two girls that are sick. Give them strength, dear Lord. And give each one now, as we go our way, safety, that we might go with a testimony bright for the Lord Jesus and bring us to our children. May they sense that God has met us. May they sense that we have had a renewing of life in Christ. And continue thy work in us. Bless Glen Erie, the navigators, these dear friends who have done so much to make us comfortable, to give us good things of God. Bless them here, dear Lord. And may there be many other conferences that are blessed by thy Spirit and wonderfully encouraged as people come. And so we commit ourselves with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit the Comforter may abide on each of us, both now and until Jesus comes. Amen.